Right now, could you join me and let's give it up a little bit for our pastor. Pastor Wes, God bless you. We're glad that you got wet and dried out already. And now we're going to look forward to hearing what the Lord has to say through you today.
Amen. Did I mention that I love baptisms? You know, God is good, and I'm excited to see what God is going to do. See, here's the thing. I believe God is moving in the hearts of people. I believe that every time that we get to church, we should be expecting God to do incredible things. We should be expecting people to come to know Jesus. We should be expecting God to stir the hearts of people, and we should really be expecting good things from God. Amen? And I think it's important that we come to our Sunday service, say, God, I'm here. I want to serve you. I want to worship you, but I'm expecting you to do some wonderful things. We're starting a new series in the next few weeks that we're calling What If. Now, you're wondering all these question marks. That doesn't have to do with Alpha. That doesn't have to do with the Joker either. Just saying, okay? But we are starting this series we're calling What If. And you know, it's interesting because I got on the internet, and as I got there, I wondered if there is such a, if there's anything about What If, and I found a book. It's called What If. And I thought, this is interesting. It says serious scientific answers to absurd hypothetical questions. Now, this is a good book. I think everybody should have a copy of this because it talks about important things like, is it possible to build a jetpack using downward firing machine guns? You never know. You never know when you need answers like this stuff. Or another one that I found was, what if you fired a puck at a goalie at Mach 8? What would happen to that goalie? It's a good question, right? I know you're awake at night thinking about questions like that. What would happen if you're in a pool and lightning strikes? It's a good question. Okay, so what I loved about when I bought this book is it wasn't even the book so much. I loved what the back cover said. It says this, and I put it up here. Humans can't digest the cellulose in paper, but if we could, eating this book would give you up to 2,300 calories. That's including the cover. So important stuff. I love this next one. This book can't stop most bullets. If you want to use it for armor, you may have to buy a lot more than just one copy. I love this one. If you have a good arm, you could probably throw this book at about 45 feet. With practice, it's possible to throw a book every 800 milliseconds, which means that if humans attack are sprinting towards you, you'll have 3 or 4 chances to hit them before they reach you. If, on the other hand, you're being attacked by a coyote, its higher top speed means you'll have only 1 chance to hit. So aim carefully. So this book can be used for multiple purposes. Okay, well, anyways, I'm not here to talk about a book. I am here to talk about the book, our holy book, the Bible. But I want us to look at this question this morning. What if? What if we really trusted God with everything that we have? What if we said, God, it's you and all you and your top priority for me? What if we put our entire faith in God? What if we were willing to say, God, I'm even willing to trust you with my wallet? Now, that's a tough one, okay? That is a tough one. And we want to look into a little bit of a series here in the next few weeks that we're calling it What If, but we're talking about stewardship. Stewardship, and I looked this up in the dictionary, is the responsible overseeing and protection of something considered worth caring for and preserving. God is giving you something. God has entrusted you with something. He expects you to take care of it in a proper way and to utilize it in a proper manner. And I think part of that, and when it comes to utilizing what God has given to us, it means that we've got to say, God, how can I use this to glorify God? And see, here's the thing. I think when we're looking at stewardship, I think we need to start with the principle of humility. The principle of humility. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, you've got your Bible, right? Okay, some of you, if you don't have your Bible, you might have one of these. I know everybody's got one of these things, right? It's your smartphone. And if you go to your smartphone, you can actually get the Bible app on there, okay? And if the Bible is too heavy for you, which is unfortunate, then we need to talk, but you can use your smartphone and you can jump to 1 Peter, and I'm gonna do that this morning just because I've got it in front of me here. See if I can actually do this. 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 5, verses 5-7. And I think it would be good if we stand for the reading of God's word here this morning. Can we do that? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5-7. It says this, young man, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Father, thank you again for your precious word. Thank you again for the practicality of this written word to us here today and how we can apply it to our lives. And Lord, as we unpackage it, as we take time to look into what you want to say to us here this morning, I pray in Jesus' name, help us to have ears to hear, help us to practice and put it into practice, Father God, so that we would live in a way that honors you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So when we're talking about what if, when we're talking about starting with humility, we need to start with mutual submission. We need to start with cooperation. Here's what it says. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Basically, he's saying this. He's saying, look, if you're new in your faith, if you're fresh in your faith, you just become a Christian or you're relatively new, be submissive. Listen to those that have been around for a little longer. Respect those spiritually mature and listen. Learn from each other. Now let me just point something out. Under no way was he saying that the older believers are to be superior than the younger ones. He's not saying that. And unfortunately, in some cases, older believers aren't necessarily more spiritually sound than younger ones. You ever met somebody that never grew up? Yeah. I know a few people like that. I'm talking people that never grew up in it when it comes to just life in general. They're like in their 60s and 70s and they're still acting like teenagers. Some of you know them. Some of them may be married to you. I'm just saying. But here's the thing. We need to grow up in our physical life, but we need to grow up in our spiritual walk as well. And we need to be living in a way that honors him. You know, I had a grandfather who loved Jesus and he served Jesus for a gazillion years. Let me use a quote from Pastor Les. A gazillion is just more than a Brazilian, just so you know, okay? He served Jesus for a gazillion years. And you know, I love the fact that when my brother, who was at Bible school at the time, he would come home, and I've said this before, he would come home from Bible school and my grandfather would call him into his room. And he would say to him, Dan, I've read this portion in the Bible, and I don't really understand it. Can you explain it to me? And I thought, here is a man that has read the Bible over and over and over again, but he's still learning. And I think we all need to be learning. Are you with me? I think we all need to be growing. I don't care how long you've been a believer. But see, here's the thing. We need to be respecting one another. We need to be working with one another. We need to be learning with one another. New believers, they've got the energy. They've got the passion. They've got the desire to go out there and to reach those that don't know Jesus. And they're out there doing it. And sometimes we who've been believers for a while, we kind of calm down. We need that energy to spark us. And we need that wisdom from those that are a little bit older to encourage us to keep going. That's cooperation, folks. That's humility, learning from one another. That's what we're talking about when we talk about mutual submission. How is that lived out? Well, it's lived out in our conduct. Here's what he says. He says, all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another. You know, sometimes I think the English language is kind of boring. You know, I mean, we've got these words, but sometimes they don't really convey the depth that some of the other languages convey. So for example, this term, clothe yourself. Now, every one of you clothed yourself this morning. Praise God for that. Just saying. But in the Greek here, in the original language, the point is to put on an outward garment worn by a servant. It's the type of garment that would show that you are willing to serve. So it would be much like, I know, now you're worried. He's taking off his jacket. Yeah, I know. These are my coveralls. Aren't they great looking? They're well used. I'll get them on. Yes, hang on a second. It's better if I took off my shoes first and I don't fall into that pool back there. That would be bad. That, with my luck, that might just happen. Okay, here's the point. Now, I don't put coveralls on to look good. They do look good. Well, kind of used. But I put coveralls on because I'm going to work, right? I'm going to go do something. My coveralls, they have oil stains because I don't really know how to do an oil change properly. They got paint all over it. They've got sawdust all over them. I use them to work. And see, here's the point, folks. Here's what the scriptures is trying to tell us. It's saying humility needs to be something that you consciously put on. It is an act of saying, I'm gonna lay aside my wishes, that which is important. I'm gonna look towards others. How can I live out humility? How can I be humble when maybe there's a job to be done and nobody else wants to do it? How can I be humble when I see somebody in need and I have the resources to help them? How can I put on humility and make that the primary purpose of my relationships with others? See, we need to clothe ourselves in a way that honors God. It may not look so pretty. It may not. It doesn't have the flair and the look of a nice looking suit or of something else, but it is something that God has called us to do. Why? Because Jesus did it, didn't he? So if you jump to John chapter 13, John chapter 13, verse 3-4. Jesus doesn't put on coveralls, but this is what it says. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. In other words, he's got the strength. He's got the authority here to do whatever he wants. He knew that he had come from God and was returning to God. Now, if you were to stop right there, you could say, well, Jesus, you knew that you're great. He could have just stood up and said, here I am. Bow down and worship me. No, here's what he does. So he got up from the meal. He's sitting with his friends, his disciples. He took off his outer garment and wrapped a towel around his waist. It wasn't coveralls that he put on, but the symbol of servanthood was a towel. And then the teacher bent down and washed the dirty, stinky feet of his pupils. The most humiliating thing you could possibly do was to wash the feet of those guys that had been walking around all day. And see, here's what God's saying to us. He's saying to us that we need to conduct ourselves in a similar way, folks. We need to put on humility, to be willing to serve, even in those areas where it may be not fun to serve. I'm going to take this thing off because it's just a wee bit warm up here in these lights. But I'm asking you, are you willing to serve even when it's not fun to do so? See, there is a caution that goes along this if we do not serve. And this is what it says. It says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Remember the word picture I was talking about before? So here's a really good word picture found in this scripture. God opposes. The picture is of an army. And an army that is standing against the king of the universe. Now, let me just mention something here this morning. If you oppose God, I've said this before, if you oppose God, there's going to be a sure loser. And it ain't going to be God. Just saying. right? But here's this army that stands up against God and says, man, we're going to do it our way. It's an arrogant army. It's an arrogant idea. It's an opposition that sets itself up with God. And God, it says he hates it. He opposes it. Why? Why is it such a hatred for God, this whole thing of pride? Why does he hate it so much? Because, see, here's the thing. Pride, folks, was the very thing that caused Adam and Eve to sin against God. Pride was the very thing that got Lucifer thrown out of heaven because he said, man, I'm going to be bigger and better than God. Pride was the thing that drove Adam and Eve to the garden, that forbidden fruit. Now, everybody thinks it's an apple. I think it's a pear, okay? I don't know. This is the first thing I could grab this morning. But it drove this first couple to say, man, I want what God's got, and I'm gonna take it, and I'm gonna eat of it, and I'm gonna become like God. Let me tell you, God's not okay with that. Are you following me? He is not okay when we take and we say we want to put ourselves up above God. Folks, I want to encourage you with something. God, hang on. It is a good pair, by the way. God opposes the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. The only antidote, the only cure, true cure for pride is the grace of God. What does grace mean? Grace means it's an understanding that God chose to show us kindness when we deserved punishment. That's grace. I love what one professor said, and he said this: grace is getting what you don't deserve and not getting what you do deserve. See, here's the thing. We really don't deserve God's kindness. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve God's patience. What we do deserve is God's judgment. But God showed us this thing called grace, and was willing to say, I want to have you part of my family. I want to have you part of who we are as people. And so, folks, I encourage you, be very aware of pride. Be very aware of putting yourself up above others, of putting yourself and trying to draw attention to yourself, because that's deadly. Now, there's things that we can be grateful for that God has given us, and we can be thankful for that. But we need to be careful that it doesn't lead to a negative attitude of pride. So what does it mean? What if we become humble? Well, humility, it starts with having the right attitude, but it also starts with godly submission. We need, and when it comes to godly submission, we need to first of all submit. Okay, that's deep, isn't it? You get that? Godly submission starts with submit. Submit. Here's what he says. He says in this portion of scripture, he says, humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand, that he might what? Lift you up in due time. See, submitting to God is really an act of faith, isn't it? It's saying, I'm going to take a step, though I am not really sure where this is going to lead me. But God, you've called me to move forward in you. You've called me to take this step in you. And I'm going to submit to your authority. And I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And, you know, see, here's the thing. I believe with all my heart that if we are quiet, if we submit, and if we listen, God speaks. I believe that. I believe sometimes we're so wrapped up in the noise of life, and we're so wrapped up in trying to figure things out, and even in our prayers, we're so wrapped up in expressing our needs, which is important, but we don't shut up. We don't keep our mouth shut for just a few minutes and just listen and hear what God has to say. See, I believe that if you listen, God will speak. He says, therefore humble yourself. Be quiet before the Lord, under God's mighty hand. Sometimes we have this picture of God sitting up in heaven ready to beat us every time we step out of line. and trying to keep us and draw us back here, and how dare you do that? But what God wants to do is he wants to guide us, folks. He's not there to beat us up. He's there to guide us. I love this picture. It's such an incredibly beautiful picture of a dad walking with his son through the woods. I love the picture because I love walking through the woods, first of all. But I love this because it's a picture of God and us. Because here's the way it works. God's guiding us with his mighty hand. Now, you got to walk this way. You got to go this way. And you notice who's carrying the pack? God is the one that carries the burden. If we just submit it unto him, God wants to work in our lives. And it says here that he wants to lift us up in due time. God wants us to find the strength to carry on, to move forward in him. I love what one commentary said. It says, God never exalts anyone until that person is ready for it. First the cross, then the crown, first the suffering, then the glory. See, we look at it and we say, God, okay, I want to be guided for you, but don't give me any of that trouble stuff, because I don't want that. Don't give me any of those challenges, because, man, that's not for me. And when we see them, then we often say, well, obviously, God doesn't care. But see, God cares enough that he guides us through those challenging times. He guides us through the troubled times, and he wants us to trust in him. I still have pear in my mouth. He wants us to trust in him even during those very, very difficult times. Submission to God is having a right perspective on life. I love what F.B. Meyer once said, and this is so amazing. I used to think that God's gifts were on the shelves, one above the other, and the taller we grew, the easier we can reach them. Now I find that God's gifts are on the shelves, one beneath the other. The lower we stoop, the more we get. In other words, here's how it works, folks. It's not how big we can get. It's not how high we can get. It's not how deep, far we can reach. It's how deep we're willing to kneel and say, God, I want to trust you even for the smallest things in my life. Submit. Submit to God. And lastly, surrender to him. He says this. He says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Anxiety. Have you been there? Have you experienced it? It's not fun, is it? I remember a number of years ago. You know, it's funny how things happen in life. When it rains, it really pours, doesn't it? Remember a few years ago, we got some bills and we're sitting there going, oh my goodness, what do we do? And there was one after the other, after the other, after the other. And we're sitting here and my daughter's upstairs. Thank the Lord for that right now. But I was borrowing money from Patricia to pay for bills. And I'm thinking, God, I can't do this. How am I supposed to move forward? I just. And I guess that's the key. I can't do it. You can't do it without the help of the Lord, without submitting to him and saying, God, it's you or it's nothing. I can't move forward. I look at us as a church, and I say, God, we need to move forward. We need to make a difference in our community. We need to love those that are out there that don't know you, and we need to make it a point to reach out to them. But then there's that money thing. Don't you just hate about that money thing, right? And I look at us and I say, our church, and I say, God, we need a miracle. But see, here's the thing. Submitting means that we are willing to say, God, I trust you, and I trust you right now. Basically, the term here is put in a Greek tense. Okay, and you don't have to know all this information. I'll just give you the word. It's called the aorist tense. The aorist tense means that what he says here is something we need to act on immediately. When he says submit, he's not just saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to submit to God. Think about it. You know, have a cup of tea. Maybe sleep on it. Next week, when you feel up to it, yeah, you know what? Let's get back to this. No, he's saying you got to do this right now. Right now, it's important enough that you need to act right now and don't procrastinate. See, God wants to bring us through. He wants us to follow him and trust him no matter what it is. See, what God is calling us to do, folks, he's calling us to completely surrender, cast everything upon him, for he cares for you. Now, I wanted to illustrate this morning by saying that sometimes we carry a heavy load, and I took one of my wife's favorite pillowcases, and I filled it full of books, and it didn't handle the books, and it ripped open. So forgive me, my dear wife. Anybody here knows how to sew? I'll leave it just right here. But here's the thing. Sometimes we walk around like, you remember Pilgrim's Progress? Anybody read the book Pilgrim's Progress? You remember Christian used to walk around with his heavy load on his burden, a heavy burden on his shoulders. And as he's walking, he's weighed down by, there's too many people weighed down by a heavy burden, folks. There's too many people that are walking through life carrying this thing, and God's saying, you know what? I just want you to surrender it. I want you to cast your anxieties upon me. I want you to trust me. I want you to come to the cross, he's saying, and I want you to drop it there. And Jesus said, and you know it well. He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my burden. Drop your junk at the cross. Trust it into my care. See, because I can take care of it better than you can. And I've got a better thing for you to carry. I've got something that is handmade for you. It's specifically designed for you. Why don't you take that instead? And let me take care of the other details. Let me take care of the financial things. Let me take care of those other issues that you're facing with. Let me be in charge of that. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, he says this, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then what? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He's saying, look, don't let the anxiety burden you down. Drop it at my feet. Come to me, he's saying, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, and present it to me. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says this, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because what? He trusts in you. What if? What if this morning, folks? What if this morning we were to say, God, it's you and fully you? What if we were to say to God this morning, God, I want to surrender. I want to trust my life into your hands. I want to be faithful in reaching out to others, to love others, to be sensitive to the need of others, to put on humility and help and be involved in the lives of others. What if this whole thing of stewardship would start by us saying, God, I want to be humble before you. What if this morning we would say, Jesus, I need to drop everything at the foot of the cross. We're going to go into communion in just a minute. And communion, basically what it is a symbol of what Jesus did for us. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But I'm going to get you to bow your heads at this time. I'm going to call the worship team up at this time as well. What if this morning, what if God is speaking to you and saying to you, you know what, I've got a plan for your life. What if God is saying to you today, you got to let go of your garbage, of all those things that are burdening you down. What if this morning God wants to change your life and bring about an incredible new revolution of him, revelation of himself to you this morning? If you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, today's the day. Today's the day. God wants to do something in your life. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to pray for you here today. I want to ask God to intervene. I want to ask God to change your heart. I want to ask God to give you that fresh life, that joy, that freedom. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you, and people are praying around you right now, I'm going to ask you just to put up your hand real quick. And I want to pray for you. Won't embarrass you, but we just want to acknowledge you, and then I want to pray for you. And maybe later on, I've got some materials if you're interested. I'd love to get it to you. Is there anyone here who says, man, I need that. I need that here this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Father, thank you that you're a good, faithful, loving, compassionate, caring God. I thank you that as we surrender to you, as we entrust our lives into your care, Father, you do the miraculous. You take our gifts. You take our desires. You take, Father, who we are, and you make us fresh and new. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to be humble before others, and most importantly, before you. That we would know, Lord, what it means to truly trust you with everything. Everything that you've entrusted to us, our finances, our lives, our families, our work, our health, our everything, that we would entrust it. We would be good stewards of what you've given us. We would take good care of it. We would treat it with respect. But we would also be very mindful of how we can express our thanks, our praise, our gratitude, our submission to you here today. So Lord, as we go into this time of communion, as we go into this time coming to this table and remembering what Jesus did for us, how he went to the cross, how he submitted everything so that we could have a relationship with you. God, would you make this time a wonderful time of joy, a wonderful time of thanksgiving, a wonderful time of remembrance, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to